Okay, folks. I had to reschedule. Welcome back to the QS Cast Insider. So there's that. Had to reschedule the cast from last night to the following morning. I just allergies. I don't know what's going on, but it's a little bit better at least. Joining me this week is a familiar face. It's not Chris. Chris has been it's been awesome to have Chris on. I really appreciate having Chris on and filling in, and we have some great casts, but it's also great to have a familiar face. Tarkan, what is up?
What is up? I think by familiar face, you actually meant familiar voice. And I think Chris's voice is much sexier than mine. So I can see why he became a favorite over the past few weeks. So
That could be. But I love you, buddy. But so we had actually some really good, we tried to take for those that are just listening in on for the first time, or, have just listened to the podcast, briefly, we try to take questions, every week before we fire up the podcast. We had some really good questions for this week, actually. Tark and I will discuss that. But in the meantime, and actually kind of just started a few minutes ago, the Invitational has been kind of in full swing. Folks have been watching that. It's kind of really showcasing Magic Arena. Kind of follow along with that in the Discord as well. Most of it is the discussion's actually an off topic, so it is open to the public. If you're a prospective insider, you're kind of on the fence. some of our free content is actually probably better than most outlets, but I try not to boast too much.
Yeah, the Invitational has just been awesome. I don't know if anybody else has had a chance to catch it, but I know we, in off topic, few of us were chatting about it while we were watching. And I mean, I am legitimately blown away as to how good. I really didn't know what to expect. And yeah. I turned it on. I'm like, man, this is really exciting to watch. Arena's exciting to watch. All of the commentators, I don't know if anybody else noticed, but they were really good at being very fast, because the pace of Arena is, like, it's clearly a lot quicker, and all of the shoutcasters were really good at calling out what was happening as it was happening or right after. I mean, there was good cadence. Nobody really skipped a beat. I mean, everybody was really strong, and it was just entertaining to watch. I mean, there was a few production value hiccups, but, I mean, WotC's new to esports exhibition and having it be sort of a spectator sport. It's very, very new for them. The Pro Tour and Paper Magic coverage doesn't count, in my opinion, as, true spectator esports kind of events. And this was them, having some stage production value and a variety of color commentators. And, it was very different. It was very, very good. So the few kind of quirks that they experienced, I'm sure they'll get over that. And yeah, I can't wait to see what they do with London. That should be interesting.
Yeah, and a few, obviously there's hiccups. There's a few things that, obviously people get upset about when they're watching, some probably older players and kind of Magic purists and, kind of how they're watching this. And, there's already been things to kind of pile on about, and that's fine. But, it just comes with the nature of how this program, and its limitations. It will have limitations sometimes, and, not so. You can't eliminate all the feel bad moments. You really can't.
Yeah.
So, it's going to happen. But overall, I think even Efren said it. There were like 70K people had a chance to catch it. I know even I went back later on that night, last night, just out of curiosity. There was like 7 to 8K viewers like on a restream too. So the overall numbers of Magic, like the viewership, were pretty much rivaling Hearthstone on like a, what was it, a Thursday night, like at 10:30 or something Eastern Standard Time. And Tark and I were kind of discussing this, and it has come up in the Invitational discussions as well. I'm like, I've even said, I'm like, listen, if you think WotC has been, bad, like Activision Blizzard has just been, they're almost like giving you like hand, like on a silver platter, like, please, like, take over, you know, Magic and, like, you know, just take the top slot. They're making it so easy.
Yeah.
It's been such a dumpster fire. And let's get at, like, let's just stick to the facts. Like, don't get into all that, like, reporting or whatever. Everyone else's, like, weird take on it. But, you know, because I've seen some, like, you know, so many different, like, takes. But fact of the matter is, Activision Blizzard has been suffering. All their games have been suffering. It seems like Magic has been doing the right thing, like, as surprising as that is. And even Chris and I talked about it with Magic Arena. I mean, it's just right there for the taking. And the moves that you need to make now is you need to make a move that grows the Magic, you know, viewership and streaming and all that, you know, your kind of foothold in the esport, you know, kind of realm, and weakens Hearthstone at the same time. So you need to, like, aggressively go after the first one that comes to mind is, like, Brian Kibler. You need to, like, really aggressively get Brian Kibler or someone like that back into the fold that is going to, you know, weaken Hearthstone and really push Magic. Because I think it's, like, right there for the taking.
Yeah, I mean, I generally agree with that. I really don't think, I'm not trying to sound pessimistic, but I don't know if Magic will ever achieve the same kind of viewership numbers that Hearthstone does, just because they're such different games. So, I mean, I think, what was it? The Magic gets like 5 to 10,000 per day, viewers per day on a daily average, whereas Hearthstone's like 20 to 30. And in my opinion, I think Magic can probably get up to like 15 to 20. And that's awesome. I mean, that's basically like up there, but I don't know if it's ever going to fully match or rival Hearthstone viewers, just because Hearthstone is such a casual game and has so many super casual players and little kids. And I mean, Magic has that audience too, but Magic is just so much more complex. It's more complicated. I mean, even viewing it's a little bit more complicated if you don't know what you're looking at. But all that said, I agree with you. I mean, I don't see why they shouldn't be, you know, extending a streamer contract out to, I mean, Kibler is a natural choice, but, you know, we don't know the behind the scenes of what Kibler's deal is with Activision or Hearthstone or whatever. I mean, like I was telling you before, Chaz, my only question to that is that, you know, you have these streamers who built their audiences. I mean, I love Kibler, but, and I know Kibler has a Magic base, but I think that his Hearthstone base is more Hearthstone only. I think the majority of them are that. I don't think that the majority of them are like Magic and Hearthstone hardcore players.
Yeah.
That's just my opinion. So I don't know if Kibler himself would want to jeopardize his, you know, bread and butter, you know, by going, "Hey everybody, I'm now no longer streaming Hearthstone, I'm just streaming Magic Arena." Can he do both? He does do both, so yeah. Sure. But I mean, so I don't know. I mean, he's like the best type because he's a Magic guy who went over to Hearthstone, but I'm sure there are plenty of others that you could, you know, that are big enough that you could kind of extend. But I mean, yeah, I don't know, man. I don't know if you can pull someone who is primarily a Hearthstone player and just be like, "Listen, we're going to straight up poach you. We're going to match everything you're making, you know, incentivize them with the cash, but then, you know, threaten their audience." You know, I don't know.
Yeah, not sure. You know, and I don't want to take like too much time on this, but you know, it's kind of what we try to do, even on the podcast too, is try to look at so many different variables that kind of all feed into the Magic market. And, you know, there's always the questions like, "Oh, well, what does this have to do with the Magic market?" Well, it might not be the leading driving factor, but it's definitely going to become a bigger factor over the course of, you know, now that Magic, you know, while it's still in beta, it's fine, but this is going to be a factor into like how bullish or bearish the market may be. I mean, it's definitely trending, and I think it's because all of these different factors are on the up.
I mean, people, like, here's the thing. So there's a lot of people are like, "Well, oh, so is this like, best of one?" Right, and is best of one going to influence card prices? I don't see what. Listen, I watched that Experimental Frenzy game, those games where she was going off with Experimental Frenzy, and I'm not gonna lie, I actually wanted to buy copies, not even for speculation. I was just like, "Wow, that looks so much fun. I had no idea this deck, this is how it was built to operate." that looks insane. I want to play with Experimental Frenzy. I don't see why that's not going to happen. Now, is it going to be so meaningful that it's going to move needles on a lot of things? I don't know, but I don't see how streams like that won't have some kind of impact in some area of the market. I just don't. I don't see it. Especially as streaming and arena gets bigger and Magic gets put in front of more eyeballs and people start engaging with the game more. Yeah, I don't see how it's not going to influence. Now, do I think it's going to be like Pro Tours where you go, oh my gosh, Experimental Frenzy on camera on arena, go buy them all because it's going to be spiked? No, but I do think that there is going to be some impact.
Yeah,
I do.
Yeah, and again, like we try to cover a multitude of different aspects, and it's kind of why, I mean, like I said, everything is kind of culminating into this like perfect storm as to why we're starting to see some accelerated buying. I mean, Chris and I talked about it the last few weeks. Tark, even we talked about it the last time you were on. That we're kind of heading into this really buyer friendly, this buyer's market. It's very it's definitely picking up speed, and it's because of a lot of different factors. So we do try to identify that, give some time to them, talk about them, even though they're not super directly involved, they do have some influence.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
So that being said, we have actually, they let us know that we're going to be seeing War of the Spark previews this weekend. More notably Sunday. If some leaks or whatever happen before that, we'll try to keep up with that. But official previews are going to be on Sunday. So mm-hmm. We'll know like right away what we're dealing with, and see like kind of what effect that may have on certain cards in the market. I think, especially in this Discord, we've been very good at kind of identifying that, especially nearly immediately. I mean, I know... just to take one instance, like Chris and I, even when like Taysa was spoiled, like we were churning out like a short list like pretty quickly, and almost all of those cards increased, whether it be that day or not too long after. So just the Discord on a whole has been very good at doing that. We don't have any previews to talk about right now. I think the one that's in there is like Ajani Pride Mate.
Yeah,
let me double check. So yeah, I don't know.
Johnny's Pride Mate. Yeah.
Yeah, Johnny's Pride Mate. So that's a reprint. I don't know if it's like 100% confirmed. It looks pretty real to me. So I'm just going with it. So that's just kind of like a very small window into what we can be expecting. So ton of Planeswalker stuff. It's like going to be a ton of different things we're going to be viewing. Obviously, there's going to be a new way to probably introduce these Planeswalkers, or because it just kind of seems like pretty crazy to have like 30 plus Planeswalkers in a set. So we'll see how they kind of integrate that.
Yeah, I have really mixed feelings about that. And to be completely honest, I lean more so on the, I'm not a huge fan of that idea. Only because Planeswalkers, have just, They used to be something that was regarded as like really exciting, and they were rare and kind of quote unquote special.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
And now like that's been very, that's going to be diluted. I mean, they're just going to be another part of the game, which that's fine. But I kind of liked that aspect of them. But who knows? They might do some really really interesting things that still keep them exciting, even though there's a lot of them. Right? I'm totally open to that. But I'm kind of leaning on I get it, that's a big part of Magic now is the Planeswalker component, but I don't know, getting one in every pack, it's like they're going to inevitably be pretty bad.
Yeah.
They're going to be pretty bad, or they're just going to, I don't know. I'm kind of mixed on that. We'll see. But I'm open. I hope it's good.
Yeah, I mean, it may happen that way, but we'll see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is there, okay, so to the questions, actually, and we
yeah.
actually had some really good questions. Let's see, let me jump back real quick. Okay, so one insider here, has the time to pick up modern specs already passed? If not, what other modern specs are still on the radar, but near all-time lows.
It definitely has not. In fact,
it definitely has not passed.
So, yeah, there's been other content creators that have also noted this, but I'm a bit surprised that there hasn't been more activity up until now. I think everything is ripe for the taking now, and who knows what day it's going to be that suddenly things start spiking out of nowhere or people start moving. Who knows?
We're at that point.
Well, right, but we're not seeing like staples out of nowhere, you know, double up. It's like, well, where'd that come from, right?
We're at that point.
Like, what staples have been doing that? Even if you look at the past few days,
I mean, even Dark Confidant's pretty much at like pre-reprinted price ever. $80, pushing $100.
So that's okay. So fair that yes, we're now seeing them trend upward. So yes, now is the time to be buying. And I think invariably sooner than later is going to be where the big moves start happening, where you're like, whoa, what's going on? This card's going nuts. Right. So no, it's absolutely not too late. In fact, it's the best time now to be doing it. What's going to happen as far as what moves where, I don't know, but you know, there's some baseline rules that we can always lean into. It's like, okay, well, you know, we have however many printings of Liliana, you know, in order for Liliana the Veil to double up, I mean, you're talking about an extremely high amount of increased demand. So, you know, you have to factor all that in. I always like to go for the stuff that's on the lower end just because there's less risk, right? And typically the stuff that's on the higher end is there because, well, the demand has been established. So, you know, I'm just trying to address all points of that question. You know, like if the person who's asking is saying, well, does that mean I should go start speccing on Tarmogoyfs? I don't think Tarmogoyf is a great spec, although I wouldn't be surprised to see Tarmogoyf see some gains. I just don't think it's going to be the kind of gains that you want to be looking at. I would be looking at something else, which sort of goes into like one of my picks, which is I have a modern pick, and I mentioned it in the chat, but I think that Aether Vial is actually feels a bit low to me. It's about $30. And when I look at something like Chalice of the Void, which is $60, I'm kind of like, that doesn't feel right to me, though. You do have the From the Vault printing of Aether Vial, which, you know, I get that kind of pushes the price down a bit, but I feel like such a big spread between those two. They're sort of kind of similar-ish kinds of cards in the sense of, like, you know, the decks that they're for and what they are supposed to accomplish. And I just think that seems a little low. Now, do I think Aether Vial is going to spike to $60 with Modern Horizons? Could. Assuming that enhances tribal decks or whatnot, then yeah, absolutely. I don't see any reason why it couldn't end up being $50, $60. So that's one of my picks. But I'm looking at things like that either seem like they're at their lows or that they're not, you know, that they're a little underpriced for where they should be. But something like Liliana of the Veil or Tarmogoyf, I'm not really targeting that because while it might see gains, I don't think it's going to see the kind of gains that I would need. Which is, you know, for me, is I want to at least walk away with 20% net from any spec or anything that I'm buying into. So yeah. That's I guess that's my long-winded perspective on it.
Well, see, and here we're kind of at like a weird spot with this too. I don't think. Wait, there's definitely a caveat here, and it's not like, oh, go, you know, don't buy everything, but. The weird caveat is here. No, I don't think the time has passed to buy you know, modern cards. The caveat is though, we need to identify specifically or our best educated guess as to what cards, despite Modern Horizons, will continue to be good. So this is why, like, Death Shadow, I don't like all these graveyards theme stuff. I'm not as high on than just like Snapcaster Mage. Like something like Snapcaster Mage, I don't think it doesn't matter probably unless it's banned. I don't think like it's not going to be bad. You know, I just don't see like lands, specifically even Kaladesh fast lands. You know, real estate literally in lands. Like just stuff that's normally just good in a general, you know, modern meta that will coexist well enough or survive anything that may happen with Modern Horizons. That's, you know, to answer your question, Targ, even like we've seen increases, but when is that going to really start taking off? Well, I think that's really it's going to really start taking off once modern once we know exactly what Modern Horizons is going to do for modern. You know, namely seeing the whole set. You know, then we have like, you know, brewing and all that stuff and some tournaments from there. But I don't think it's like this emphasis and interest on modern is not just going to suddenly disappear overnight.
No,
you know, especially now and between Modern Horizons and even after Modern Horizons. So it's not like, oh, am I going to buy these, you know, really coveted modern cards like Snapcaster Mage or, you know, what have you? And they're suddenly going to be like half their value. Well, no, I don't like these cards aren't going to decrease like randomly, I don't think. So we need to kind of temper, like not temper, but really lay out. And this is what we've been trying to do, even on the cast and all this discussion. Is really like have this kind of short list of like cards that are staples, but also are just generally, you know, they don't rely on a lot of different things to be good. You know, Snapcaster Mages, yeah. Lands, you know, stuff like that. I don't personally from the chat, I don't know what's going on with Dark Confidant. I really don't. It's really not, it doesn't see play all that much, but I mean, we're almost pushing like pre-reprinted prices like ever. Like it before it was ever even reprinted at all.
Yeah, I mean, and to be fair, I don't think anything's going to go down unless it's banned. So ultimately, if you're trying to play with modern cards, you just need to get them now because, you know, there's there's a good chance that a lot of them or something in your deck or a lot of things in your deck are going to end up being expensive. So
even Snapcaster Mage is just reprinted at a mythic, like it's 50-ish, you know, mid-50s. Like, it does have a couple printings, but I don't think it's going to stick around $50 for that much longer. Like, I can easily see tacking on another 15, 20, even almost 30 bucks onto each copy, you know, once we're in, like, kind of the full throes of modern season and Modern Horizon, you know, hype.
Yeah, I mean, I mentioned Liliana of the Veil. I could see $100 Liliana of the Veil again. But again,
oh, easily
$100 Liliana Veil is only up what $20 from where it was before, and when you consider fees and all that, and how much your outlay has to be to go in on meaningful amount of copies,
exactly.
Right? So that's from the investment standpoint. I don't like these staples that could go up some as an investment, but if you're playing with Liliana the Veil, you might as well get your Liliana of the Veil now because it's not impossible that Liliana of the Veil is $100 when
Modern Horizons. Right. Obviously, the return on, you know, and your willingness to spend like $60, $70 on a Snapcaster Mage, like we obviously identify that and we want to try to like always look at lower, you know, a cheaper kind of buy-in because that's kind of how we try to do this. Like the kind of diminishing returns there, like if you're probably going to see a lot of, you know, a good amount of gains on all those Snapcaster Mages, but you know, how does that fit in your budget? Do you just snap up like a large basket of just one ofs? Do you pick up a couple copies here and there? Do you use your credit? Like, so we try to like identify, okay, like we obviously understand Snapcaster Mage. That's probably a good place to park money, but you know, there's, you know, it is $60, $50 a copy. So we need to look at this next kind of price buy-in category and, you know, low, you know, kind of go down from there. Like you're probably, this is probably still really good pickup, but it's $20 and then $15 and 10. So we try to lay out like a very broad spectrum of, you know, price points and, you know, what to be looking at.
Yep.
I think personally, you know, a lot of folks have been talking about, even the cons like the fetch lands. I mean, I think that's, I mean, there's probably no, that's the best place. I mean,
yeah, with Slip Keys, you can never, like you can never go wrong.
Bucks. Yeah. That can never go wrong, but those are a strong play.
Yeah. I like Windswept just because it's the one that hasn't seemed to move that much, as opposed to the others. But, I mean, they're all good, you know, and I think they're all about, you know, between $25 and $30.
I love the cons. Yeah, sorry to cut you off. And I love the cons fast lands too. I know
the Kaladesh ones.
Kaladesh. Sorry, my bad. Kaladesh fast lands. Notably, the ones that see the most play. Spire Bluff. That's already I think up there a little bit though. Let me see.
The green blue, one. I think.
I think Spire Bluff $3. can get up. I mean, what are we looking at? $7, $8.
Let's see. I don't think that's out of the question.
I think this could be like high teens.
I like the green blue one.
Yeah, I mean, I like that all
one's
of them.
Like Blooming that Marsh. One's yeah, Blooming Marsh. Yeah,
that's
yeah.
Green black.
Oh, green. Okay. Whatever the blue, they're all good.
Botanical right. Sanctum.
Yeah, but those are all really good. Yeah.
Yep, I agree. I mean, that's a really good. I mean, I would probably have a small stack of each one of those. I don't know. I don't believe the what is it? Concealed Courtyard, the black white, sees as much play as the other ones. So I would stick to Inspiring Vantage, Botanical Sanctum. What was it? Blooming Marsh, and obviously the red, blue one.
Do you think Blackleaf Cliffs can Spire get Bluff. To? Do you think Blackleaf Cliffs can get to $50?
Blackleaf
is that crazy?
Cliff.
That's the red that? Black. The red black, black check,
I mean,
check
that,
land.
I think it's at like what low 40s as it is
it's
now.
It's 30s. It's in the low 30s.
That's tough.
But it's a single printing from Stars.
Without a
it's
reprint,
the check land.
Yeah. Without a reprint, probably.
So there's another one. I mean, you're looking at $35, and you know, you could see Blackleaf get up to 50.
Yeah, I'm seeing high 30s, 40 for near mint copies.
Oh, for near. Okay, I'm looking at lightly played, but yeah, if you want a near mint copy, it's in the 40 or in the third. Yeah, late upper 30s, $40 basically. So well, that one might be a little bit tougher for near mint. Or yeah, but Seachrome Coast is $10.
Yeah, and then, I mean, even if you look, I mean, there's a lot of stuff to look at, but again, go after, you know, because I want to get to the other question, go after the stuff that is not super, well, obviously meta-dependent and even archetype-dependent. Like, all this graveyard stuff, like, it's great right now, it may even get better, but it could get drastically worse. So, you know, I would really look at those as like a super short term, but just stick with the safe stuff from now, because you know we just have that kind of Modern Horizons thing kind of looming over, and I think everyone's really kind of waiting for that. To the next question too, Tark, we do actually have a rotation coming up.
Yes,
as hard as that is to believe, it kind of feels like Ixalan and all that, you know, haven't been around for too long, but I mean, they're kind of old already now. So even Dominaria, all that stuff is going to be leaving. Let me see exactly what that is.
It's not October, is it?
It is October.
It's October. Okay. So we have about 6 months.
Yeah. And I believe what is leaving, at least according to what's in standard, Ixalan, Rivals, Dominaria, and Corset 2019 will all be leaving.
Yeah.
So that leaves us with basically just Guilds of Ravnica and Core 2020.
Right.
Huh.
Is the question regarding rotation?
Yeah, the question is regarding rotation, when to start getting rid of some of this stuff, and when to start stocking up on, you know, stuff for, you know, rotation. The
yeah,
sooner
so,
the better.
Well, here's so... I have some perspective on that. Oh, on picking stuff up... Yeah, so, okay, so here's a little perspective on that. It's commonly been believed that you need to start dumping your standard stuff. If you're in finance, you need to start dumping your stuff as early as 6 months in advance, because it was kind of like the buy list would start adjusting to make room. But that's actually not really the case anymore. I've seen up until actual rotation that buy lists are still paying, you know, decent amount on what was hot and standard, because you still have events, people kind of like slowly getting rid of their decks. Like, I've seen places like Card Kingdom will just continue to pay, even you're up to a month before rotation and they're still paying high on the staples because there's a couple of events left to go and they want to have the cards in stock and they want to be able to, you know, to capture, you know, the premium price for those cards. So as far as getting rid of cards, I don't think you need to be in any rush right now. Obviously, once you hit around, you know, 90 to 120 days, you start paying attention to those things. I think right now you're perfectly fine. People are going to be playing this standard format and tinkering with it or whatnot for six more months. So, and then we have War of the Spark coming in. You know, we have a lot of new things coming. So I don't think you need to be worried about rotation right now per se. There's some interesting things too that come with rotation. Like we're going to get a few modern cards that rotate out of standard and might get cheaper. Like Settle the Wreckage, Teferi. Well, yeah, I don't know if Teferi will get much cheaper. It's so such a hard staple.
I think it will get a good percentage cheaper, but not too much. I don't think just its modern play will prop up $40+. Like I just don't think it can.
Okay, that's fair. I don't know. That's tough. It's become such a staple Planeswalker mythic. I don't know. I feel like even at rotation, it's going to be like $35.
Yeah, you're probably.
But
not
I think like Field of Ruin, Settle the Wreckage, like these are like 2x, 3x's in modern, and yeah, they're going to rotate. And I feel like those are going to dip. But then I feel because of their modern playability, they're going to, you know, kind of creeping back up again. Like Settle the Wreckage feels like a $1.50 rare when it rotates, but that's a 2 of in the Azorius control decks. Well, maybe that gets back up to $3 again. You know, so I would be watching that stuff. The stuff that's modern playable or that's moved into modern, I would be paying attention to that.
What would be like, so really quickly, just to keep like this discussion like moving, what are your top 5 cards that you would be buying from what we have now? I mean, ideally this would be after War of the Spark, and this is when I would start really evaluating all of this, is after War of the Spark.
Right.
Really actually core 2020, but I would really like to start stocking up on some stuff after War of the Spark. And really like identifying what I'm trying to get rid of. What are your top 5 cards that you would be buying right now? And what are the top 5 cards you would hold on to not to buy list from the rotating stuff?
That's a good question. So I would be holding my Teferis. I'm not worried about that card losing too much value. I would be holding Teferis. I would be approaching it, like I said, with something like Field of Ruin and Settle the Wreckage. I really like to get rid of. So this is sort of like both. I would get rid of them, and I would get rid of them sooner than later. And then when they rotate and they've dipped in price, I would then rebuy them again because I think that they will then uptick. So lock in your gains now, let them drop, pick them back up when they're low, and I think they'll see gains again from modern play. Might sound kind of silly, but I would be holding on to Experimental Frenzy because that card's $1, $1.50 now, and after watching it on camera, I think casuals might find really, really crazy things to do with that card, and I think that card could easily be $3 to $5.
That card's not rotating, so you're good there.
Oh, that's a Ravnica card. Yeah. My bad.
So this would be mine. To piggyback off what you're saying, I would also hold Teferi. What was the other one that you were saying? Like the Field of Ruin, that kind of stuff.
Settle the Wreckage, yeah.
I would also be holding Crucible of Worlds. I would also be holding what was that? I just had it. Immortal Sun.
Damping Sphere. I would hold Damping Spheres. I don't think those are going to get any they are, and they're played in modern.
And I would also probably be holding Scapeshift and stuff. So like those like modern cards that were reprinted even at Mythic, like I would definitely be holding those. And Settle, that's a good one too.
Yeah, yeah.
So and like, again, let's just say, are you aggressively buying? Omniscience too. Yeah. Are you aggressively? Let's just say people are fire selling their Teferis at like $20. Are you buying it there? Just to go off a comment of
$20, I'd buy every single $20 copy.
Okay,
absolutely.
Okay, so buying aggressively at $20.
Buying aggressively at $20. At $30,
I like making notes.
Yeah, like at $30, it gets a little bit weird because at $20, I'm like, I could easily turn around, end up selling a Teferi on a Facebook group for probably $30. Past rotation.
Yep.
$30, you know, can I sell can I double it to 40? Not sure, probably. But $20 is just such a safe buy-in, in my opinion. And I'm naturally like way more a little bit more conservative, and I don't like, you know, yeah, you could pay 30 and well, you most likely could make $40, and sure, you got $10 if you sell it on Facebook, but I like that less than, well, if I can get them at 20, I know for a fact I can get rid of them at 30. Yeah. I'm totally confident in that.
Yeah, all the other stuff I would let just drop. But I would definitely wait till they drop and just start sneaking like away some foils of some of those weird like EDH Flipland stuff, like Azor's Gateway, like stuff like that, even like normal copies. That would be a really long-term play.
There's a lot of
just weird, really good stuff like for casual purposes in those sets.
Yeah, the Ixalan flip cards, like a lot of those you play in EDH or in casual circles, and those are I think the good point about rotation is that I think that there's going to be tons of stuff to buy after we rotate. I think there's going to be a lot of interesting things that just kind of just peter off into the casual world, and then people kind of forget about from standard, and then those will be really, really good because those are going to just, you're going to look tomorrow and that dagger or whatever, or the, not one of the, not the Escanto land, but one of those things that flips into like a weird land has just gone up $5 out of nowhere just because because casual play.
Yeah.
So I think there will be a lot of things to pick up.
Yeah. Even like early on when we saw the full spoiler and this, like, obvious, it's crazy that it's like coming back around again. Like even all of those, remember Targ, we were always talking about like the sagas and like all those just like weird, like cool casual cards.
Oh yeah.
All those 100%. Come back into play. But I would like to drop like a rock first, because I feel like you could grab a lot of those at like bulk.
Oh yeah.
And
I think Corset 2019 I think is gonna surprise people. That's one that I think over the next year you're gonna be like, whoa, wow, that's suddenly a couple dollars more than it was. Or that went from bulk to $3.
I'm still eating crow on some of the dragon, like the elder dragons, but in 5 years I think I'm gonna have the last one.
Yes, in 5 years, I think you are going to be laughing at everybody for those dragons. Totally. Yeah,
totally.
Yeah.
But really good question. Those were two really good questions. Hope we answered them thoroughly enough.
And real quick on rotation. Don't worry about it right now. I don't agree with the at least a lot of the people that I know, they get worried about rotation like at the 6 month mark.
Yeah.
I've been, anybody that does a lot of buy listing, I've seen all the way up, even through rotation, so a lot of these companies still buying cards at good prices. So I don't think you have to be worrying about it. I think you should start monitoring it maybe at the 3 or 4 month mark, but right now you're totally fine.
Yeah. Okay. So anything really crazy? I don't see anything pop up. Those were two really good questions. We covered the Invitational. Let's wrap it up, Tark. Cards to consider for this week.
Yeah, so scouring our interests, as we usually do. A couple of interesting things. So, Sliver Hive Lord. I'm going to go ahead and say it. I don't see any reason why Sliver Hive Lord cannot be $50. I went on to TCG Player. There is only one page of sellers, of which there's, I think, a third of them, or two-thirds of them are non-foil copies, and there's some foil copies. So I don't see any reason why it can't be a $50 card. Does that mean I think it's going to get bought out tomorrow and spiked $50? Not necessarily, but given it's a single printing, Sliver decks are just one of the top decks in casual. This card's awesome for that deck. It's a hard staple. I don't see any reason why that can't be $50. And I think it could be $50 sooner than later. Another one I like, I mentioned earlier, was Ethervile. I think that's a little underpriced at $30. I don't see why that couldn't be $50, maybe even $60 when we get into the modern hype. That was not on interest. Another one on interest that I noticed was the Locust God, which is now up to $10. I actually think it's a good time to be revisiting all of the Amonkhet gods. Chaz, you and I were talking about this before the cast, but I really love the cheap ones, the ones that end up, you know, sub $5, like not Scarab. Scarab you can get cheap. Locust God is a great one. I think that could end up being a $15 god, but all of them, I think all of the Amonkhet gods are probably priced a little too low, and we're starting to see slow movement here, like with Locust God and whatnot. And finally, the other one that I really like that's from interest is Planar Bridge. That's a $15 card easily. I don't know when that's going to happen. Probably more of a long-term thing, but I could actually see that end up being $15 sooner than later, maybe even in 6 months. So I really like Planar Bridge.
I think so. That soon?
I think so. I think it's possible. Yeah. Yeah. I think so. I mean, that's like the most it's like the most casual of casual cards, and it does one of the most fun things you possibly can do, which is just go get something and put it into play. I mean, you can do combo with it. You can just pull out crazy creatures, like, and yeah, I mean, it's already almost pushing $9. So yeah. Yeah, I think so. Will it 6 months? Maybe not, but I wouldn't surprise me. It wouldn't surprise me to put Planar Bridge at 15 in 6 months.
Yeah, it's probably good.
It might be a little bit aggressive, but it'll get there. If not in 6 months, it's going to get there within 12 months, I think. So those are my three main ones. There's a lot of interesting things, though, that's on interest. That those are the three that kind of stuck out. How about you?
Yeah, so before I kind of talk about mine, first off, you know, it came up in the chat. Obviously, folks have been talking about, but Sliver Queen's like pretty much a $100 card. So, yeah. Not super surprised. And you know, you kind of gave your reasoning as to your Sliver Hive Lord consideration there. But I don't know why like suddenly the Sliver stuff, but I mean, it's always kind of like a pet tribe, so it kind of makes sense.
Yep. I mean, if Queen is 100, it's reserve list, but it's the Queen. There's no reason why Hive Lord can't be
Scourge.
Oh no, there's you mean like the
Why specifically? Like, are all of those priced higher than Hive Lord? Like, what's the pecking order there?
I think it's Queen, Hive Lord, and then there's that other one that
there's Queen, Hive Lord, Legion, and Overlord, isn't there?
I think I know what you're talking about. I think Overlord.
There's
is
one from Scourge.
About.
There's one from like Planar Chaos, and then there's the M whatever. Yeah, like what's the order of preference there? You can answer that in chat. We don't have to get too far into it, but So it was actually interesting. You brought up the Amonkhet stuff. One card I actually like to look at. It's really funny that you brought up the Amonkhet stuff. So it's like you were looking at the gods. I was looking at because I saw it kind of like pop up. Maybe because folks are trying to like really look back into these sets. We saw this in like the BFC stuff, but Torment of Hailfire has always been on everyone's radar. But what's interesting is there's almost like a like the foils are around $7, but the non foils are around $7. The foils are around like $13 to $15. I think those foil versions can continue to push up. That is like one of the better cards to come out of that set, especially for casual purposes. So just keep an eye on that. I really like foil Torment of Hailfire.
Yeah, that card's pretty. That card's. I've seen that card played in EDH, and it's just ridiculous. It's rough. Yeah,
it is pretty ridiculous. Another one that I looked at, and now we're in this like weird time, so I wanted to kind of look at, you know, commander cards because we're kind of ramping up into modern, and we're gonna have a standard set here soon. So wanted to kind of focus on casual stuff, and you know, at least for now, I do try to have like some casual considerations as I go along, but. I like Blade of Selves too. I literally see that almost every other day, like popping up in interest. I know it has two printings, but I don't think the Commander Anthology printing is going to soak up a lot of the demand that this card has. So Blade of Selves, foil Torment of Hailfire, and this is my third. They're kind of grouped together. Again, it's really funny that you brought up the gods because I was just looking at these sets and it's actually kind of these just rotated. But when do you start picking up the cycle lands from Amonkhet? Like, are those just going to be bad forever? Like, are those because they're all around like $1 to $2 and they're normally played like pretty, you know, from anywhere to six to like. I mean, they say like 65, you know, 6,500, 7,000, you know, whatever, how many decks. I mean, do we just not look at those?
I mean, they haven't really done anything much now.
But at what point do they start becoming really lucrative? Like a dollar?
Yeah, I mean the buy list on them.
Like
is...
if you can get fetid pools theoretically for like a dollar, do you just buy like a bunch of them and just wait, sit on them for a while, or no?
Yeah, I would buy them at a dollar. I mean, that's basically that's under some buy list. So yeah, I would be buying them.
Interesting.
Yeah. I think, I mean, that's essentially around buy list. I think dollar's good.
Yeah. Okay. So I like Blade of Selves, foil. I know it seems random, but it's like, it's funny that I kind of just stumbled on that. I'm like, oh, that's like an interesting, spread on that foil there. Also an interesting one is, Ramunap, Excavator. This card is like legitimately insane. I mean, I love playing this card. It's like probably one of the best green cards like to come out of it, this for Commander. I know it has that promotional printing, but it's like it's really weird. Like the normals are like anywhere from like $3 to $4. The promotional printing's like $4, and then the pack foil is $8. So I don't know like the preference order there, but I just can't see that promotional printing keeping down pack foil. I like the pack foils of the Excavator. I think it's because that promotional draft weekend like copy is just like hampering some of the upside on the pack foils, but I think the pack foils can get there over time. So that's like more of like a longer play. So that's like kind of lower on my confidence level. I really do like Blade of Selves though. This card got a ton of hype. Then it kind of tempered off a little bit. Still played a lot. Then it got that anthology printing, which kind of like really, you know, folks kind of lost interest in it. But now I think it's slowly picking up steam again. Let me just see the price memory for this card really quick. What was this? What was the highest point? Just give me 1 second. So all-time low, $5. It's around that right now. Give or take, and its all-time high was 15.
Yeah,
I think it can get back to 15, even with the anthology printing.
Okay,
so that's gonna round out my stuff for this week. Awesome, Tark. I'm so glad you could join us. It's great to have you back on the cast. Thank you everyone for joining us. We are going to. I might pop back in on Sunday when we start having previews. For War of the Spark. Yeah, just a really quick one. But that's going to wrap it up for this cast. So appreciate everyone joining in. Thank you so much for the questions. They were really good questions. Hope you know we answered them well.
And that was excellent.
Yeah. So, Tark, see you soon. Everyone else, all see right. you soon. And that's going to wrap it up for this week.
Talk soon. See ya.
Later, everyone.
What happened?